You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
And I'm Gordy, with no further introductions.
No updates on the green front.
On the green? What green front?
From last week?
You're sweating at men?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're men of indeterminate age?
that doesn't sound familiar to... Is it? Did someone ask about this or put you up to this? There were no boys or men or anybody here.
Boys to men?
No boys to men here. All very legal and above board. No payroll incidents, no nothing.
It sounds like you've had a very stress-free week.
Very safe, very clean, very easy week over here. No problems.
No one knocking at the door or strongly worded letters or anything.
No audits of any kind. You're right.
Well, we have passed tax day now, so you should be safe.
Yeah, that is not necessarily true in the letters that I have not gotten in the past week.
Hypothetically.
But if there were letters sent about, did I send a W-2 to Victorians or whatever, then... That probably wouldn't have been in there, or it was.
Did I send a W-2 or simply two W's?
Yeah, who can say? A WW for work well done. Well done was one word, which I thought was all that was required in this country.
Also, Weldon was one of the names of the men.
Yes.
And look, like, the Victorians never even had W-2s, so it's not like they need them.
They didn't even have W-1s.
No.
Yeah, I did not know that past law was a thing that could still get you into trouble. I bet.
I've heard next year we're going to get W-3s.
We're finally moving to
W-3.0.
There's, yeah, where we all own a portion of the W-3. It was a pretty loose web 3.0 jump.
No, I got it.
Okay,
I liked what you were putting down.
That's where that was going.
I didn't get it, but this is a surprise to no one at any time.
I was going to say thanks, Elon, and then I didn't want to.
Yeah, those words taste bad, Elon. In my ears. So today we are returning to Sweden because we fooled around too much last week. It's all business this week.
Yeah. As you can tell by that intense tax talk we just had.
Yes, extreme business. We're all in ties.
Tyler's Bolo got, like, or a, otherwise.
A pocket square, so you know it's serious.
I have a bolo under my other tie.
Double business. So we're finishing up the story, The Bird Grip, from fairytales.com.
Who we did actually see in the first part, which is not typical for these two-parters.
It's true. We encountered the aforementioned Bird Grip. So this is once again the fault of folklore guest cryptid Danny, who was writing fan fiction and required a Swedish folktale to reference, which sent me down a rabbit hole, and here we are. So blame them. And just as a quick summary of where we've been, King got blind, he has three kids, older two learned about twerking to hurdy-gurdy dirges in an inn and failed the quest. Youngest son doesn't like that kind of music and found Egg Hotel, and then found Murderer Hotel, and paid for his life and the life of a dead man who was being whipped every night for having not paid his bill sometime previous to the story's open. And he got the innkeeper ladies a good job somewhere else and met a fox who gave him advice about stealing a bird that's going to help his dad see again, except
he did not follow
the advice. Now he's in jail, ruining the day that he was a real ding-dong.
Really, about. This has all just been a long cautionary tale to just listen to foxes, guys.
Foxes know what the hell they're talking about. Just listen to them.
If they tell you to do something, do it exactly as they say.
It's not hard. It's not hard not to pet a bird. I don't pet birds every day.
I haven't pet a bird today.
Have you pet a bird today, Gordy?
I guess it depends what you mean by pet and what you mean by bird.
Fingies on feathies.
Is a toucan a bird and is grabbing it by the beak petting?
No.
No. Okay.
No to both.
In the clear.
No to both.
Okay. Then no, I've pet no birds today.
Yeah, toucans aren't birds. They are cereal mascots.
That's right. Because none of those cereals could use a real creature as their mascot for copyright reasons. Anything you remember about toucans is just cereal.
That is spelled S-E-R-I-A-L.
Yeah.
They just love mascotting for various things.
And it is good that you grabbed its beak, Corey, because if you just let those things fall out of their nose, it just goes to wild places, and we don't need that right now.
It presented it to me like it was a handle, and I took it as if in handshake.
Was it firm?
The beak?
The beak shake.
Oh, yeah, reasonably. Once it got over its initial confidence issues.
Yeah, you just gotta power stance a little bit, and then you're good. How's your cereal situation now? After this firm, business-like handshake?
My cereal with a C?
Either one.
Pretty low.
Seems like bad business, Gordy.
To not have cereal?
Especially after a beak shake.
But I did run out of cereal and milk at the same time.
Oh, well.
Which is what really counts.
Yeah, that's... solid logistics.
Having one without the other is folly.
You should put that on your resume for project management.
I thought you just meant like little aphorisms on my resume.
I mean that too. Just so they know that you're both inspiring and capable of managing your cereal and milk outtake.
Why can't we just date and put like cool things that we do on our resume?
Like, here's 10 quotes that I like. And that should tell you enough about me as a person to make a hiring decision.
Like, 7/15/2018, finally landed a kickflip. Put that on the resume.
You're hired. This shows tenacity. A willingness to take risk.
Especially if you also dated when you started trying to learn to kickflip.
Yeah,
well, because then you can see the progression and how much time and dedication you put into it.
You're either a fast learner or a dedicated learner. Either way, we want you.
Either way, you
this
did
power
learn.
Plant.
We want you, 14-year-old, to run this McDonald's.
Cool flips, sweet tricks. All right. How about we cool flips these burgers?
How's about you kick flip this burger onto the grill?
It's quite a different sandwich restaurant experience. That is maybe too extreme for me. All of your fast food will be prepared in front of you by stunts like Benihana. But skateboards and pretty dirty.
It says that in parentheses on the sign.
Benny that whole Hanna, sentence.
But skateboards.
All right, so we're doing a good job of keeping it very business.
Keeping it very business.
We're leaning a little business casual, though, guys. We got to tuck in those shirts and get this story on the road. So are you two ready to catch up with our prince who's pouting in prison over the fact that he is a ding-dong?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so he's just mulling over his dumb mistakes when the fox appears before him. And Prince is like, "Ah, shit, it's you." He's very happy to see him. And then bears with great meekness all of the fox's reproaches. So I like to think of this fox popping up and then like pacing back and forth, just digging into this boy.
Clucking its tongue.
And he promises to be more obedient if the fox will help him out of this situation. Fox is like, "Yeah, idiot, that's why I'm here." Like, yeah, I had to rail.
You don't think I have better things to do? You think I want to be here?
Here for the bailout.
But I can't do any more than advise you. I'm not a great lawyer, but I can give you some legal advice. You need to say yes to everything the judge asks you when you're brought to trial. Just one word. Just yes to everything.
It's a good motto for life as well. Say yes to everything.
Don't even think. Yes and. All of it. So, unlike with the bird napping, he does manage to follow the simple instruction of saying one word to every question, which results in him affirming that yes, he meant to steal the bird, and yes, he was a master thief. All evidence to the contrary aside, totally master thief. So the king, who's watching the trial, I guess because Judge Judy hasn't been invented yet, hears him admit to being a master thief, and he's like, "Ooh, that sounds better than a cool jacket. I want me one of them." So he offers to forgive the attempt to steal the bird if the prince will go to the next kingdom and steal the world's most beautiful princess for him. So since this is a question asked to him in court, he does say yes, as the fox told him to. And he's let go and meets the fox outside the castle, and they go on a princess heist with their magical sleep grains.
Has she been peer-reviewed?
She's got a great Yelp rating.
For princess beauty.
Yeah. We don't talk often enough about how peer-reviewed science can just be posted on Yelp and liked by other people.
That's how you bring science to the masses.
That is what peer means, yeah.
Yeah.
So the prince is given the magical golden greens again and is warned not to kiss the princess. But damn if our boy is not a stupid, horny fool/assaulter, and he kisses her because she's just so dang hot. How can you resist?
Gotta.
Just gotta, that's what she's there for. So he's caught and put into a new prison. Gets the same legal advice from the fox.
Just taking a tour of all of the nearby kingdom's prisons.
He can start a prison blog. A little travel blog for jail. And this new king pays him forward to steal a horse with 4 golden shoes. So they have the exact same heist agenda, except this time the thing he's not supposed to do is touch a golden saddle. And there's the added warning that if you fuck it up this time, the fox is out of help that he can give. Like, that's it, nada. You're done. So he goes through the same rigmarole of making things fall asleep with grains. And then he sees the golden saddle. And he's like, "Well, I mean, this horse has golden shoes. And accessories really ought to match each other, right?"
Ideally.
Yeah, like, ideally, you want your saddle to match your shoes. That's just fashion. So he reaches up for the shadow, or the saddle, but then an invisible being punches him in the arm so hard that it goes numb.
What?
He's reaching for the saddle he's not supposed to touch, and then an invisible being punches him in the arm so hard it becomes numb.
He just got cold clocked by a ghost?
Yeah.
His conscience?
Or his conscience?
Jiminy Cricket's been doing mad lifts.
Jiminy Cricket bought some fucking kettlebells and
learned capoeira.
Got so strong he went to another plane of existence.
Just a bunch of boys touching a saddle.
He got tired of sitting on Pinocchio's shoulder and giving advice. Now he's going to enforce it with his fists.
Look, after
flip kicks.
After what Jiminy Cricket went through with Pinocchio, I can imagine the urge to punch something only grew stronger with time. So he remembers his promise all of a sudden, because now he can't feel his arm, and he leads the horse out without looking at the saddle again. And as far as I'm aware, just so we have the right image going forward, this is just a regular-ass horse who's got golden horseshoes.
Yeah.
You could do this to any horse.
Yeah.
But I don't think the whatever king who originally owned the princess has realized that. So he comes out with the horse, and he confesses to the fox, yeah, I nearly did a dumb again. Almost touched that saddle. Fox is unsurprised, like, no shit, dumbass. It was me who punched your arm. Because I was not putting it up to chance. Which is maybe the best, like, if the wolf had gotten this one in that one Firebird story,
mm-hmm.
things would have been a lot better for him. Mm-hmm. These animal companions could learn a good lesson from Fox. Like, sometimes you just don't trust your idiot protagonist to do things that you tell them that are very simple, and you just gotta punch them into compliance.
If you want to keep this on a timely manner.
But if you're starting to get too many side quests in your story, it's time to do a punch. As they're walking home, the prince confesses to the fox again, man, I cannot forget that hottie that I stole, or almost stole, because I don't think he successfully managed it. And this horse is pretty rad. Wouldn't it be cool if that princess rode home with me on this neat-ass horse, and also we had a bird?
Yeah, what? Yes. Wait, the bird?
Probably the bird, yeah.
Not just any bird.
Yeah, like, the prince is showing his royal blood here, because now he's come in contact with the thing.
Sure.
And he wants it for himself. So the fox agrees that, yep, that would be pretty cool. You want to do another heist? And the prince is like, hell yeah, one more job. No kisses this time. I've done learned my lesson. My arm's still numb. I definitely don't want to be clocked in the face that hard, so I will not kiss anybody. He has learned his lesson, and he manages to steal the princess. So he's learned a lesson, but not really like the lesson the world needs him to learn.
Not the capital T, the lesson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's learned not to randomly kiss people, but not to kidnap people. When he sets her on the beautiful hot horse, I imagine like you would a doll. She's like, yoinks her from her room and puts her on top of a horse. Then they ride to the castle where the bird Grip is. And this time he succeeds in not petting the bird, so that heist is a success too. So now he's full of joy.
Yeah, I can feel it. This is the one. We're going to succeed this time.
His father's going to recover his sight, and he now owns both the world's most beautiful princess and the horse with the golden shoes. Both things that can be owned by another human.
Yeah, I don't like that phrasing.
Yeah. So they all traveled together, and the fox followed them until they came to the forest where the prince and the fox had first met. The fox now says, peace out, man. You got all your cool shit, and you'll have a prosperous journey to your father's palace. If only, you just don't do this one thing. One little thing. Don't ransom anyone's life with money.
Easy enough.
For how long?
I think until you get home. Then you're at base, and it's fine.
So just for the car ride.
Yeah. Once you shout base, everything resets. And
well, that sounds extremely easy.
Yeah. Just don't pay for anyone. Done. So the prince thanked the fox, made a probably empty promise to heed the warning, because he is a prince and therefore a ding-dong.
Yeah, but you would have to really, like, try to fuck this one up.
Yeah, for sure. So he makes it to the party inn, where the hurdy-gurdy plays its dirges. As old people bet on dice, and two eldest brothers twerk and floss.
Yeah, are they still there?
Yeah.
Just slapping their butt cheeks together.
To those Gertie jams. Now that's what I call Gertie.
That was word for word the phrase that just entered my head.
Perfect.
I'm glad we got coverage of that. Like I thought of it and I was like, is that worth saying? And then you did, and I heard it out loud.
Yeah, don't worry, oh, yeah. I will always say that thing that's not worth saying.
It's like, yeah, that was definitely worth it. I just heard it.
It's the Tyler guarantee. No thought, only speech. So they he gets to the inn.
Listen, in this business, sound is content.
And we are extremely business.
Sound is content. Content is king. King is money. Money is time. Time is mystery. Life.
Or life. Time is anything but now.
Time is a flat pancake containing every moment that is not this instant.
So it's they're at the inn, except the hurdy-gurdy is not playing.
Mm-mm.
And there is no noise of mirth. No one is screaming joyfully over there. Game of modern dice. So when the prince came nearer, he saw two gallows erected outside of the inn, which is not a typical inn decoration, but is maybe the origin of the Doubletree Hotel.
Hmm.
And when he entered the inn, he saw that all the rooms were hung with black, and everything inside foreboded sorrow and death. Which is, like, given our headcanon, not that different from how this started. He was told that two princes were to be hanged for their debt, because they had spent all of their money in feasting and playing, and they were in deep debt to the host. And as no one could be found to ransom their lives, it was time for a lawful hanging. I don't know why that... I thought hanging was, like, a fun Sunday picnic activity, so I'm not sure why everyone's hanging their doors in black over this. So this prince is like, shit! That's probably my brothers. That sounds like them. And no prince should suffer such a shameful death as to be hanged outside the Doubletree Hotel.
So agreed.
He paid their debts.
Best Westerns only.
They are the best.
Best Westerns minimum.
So the brothers were at first very grateful to not be hanged outside a Doubletree, but they soon became rather jealous of their brother's treasures of a neat horse. That is just a regular horse with gold shoes, and a living human woman, and also the bird that they were all supposed to get for their dad.
Right, yeah.
So they planned his destruction, and let me tell you, it was a cunning plan.
Yeah, probably.
They enticed the
coming
prince.
From them?
Yeah. Super cunning. Very detailed and thought out. They enticed the prince to a den of lions and threw him in.
Enticed how?
Unclear.
Cunningly.
With a Twizzler, maybe? Just, like, held one out.
Just like, dangling over the entrance.
Hey, you want this? Then they set the princess on horseback, because, again, she is just a doll.
Henceforth.
They took the bird, and they rode homeward. The princess wept bitterly, her first action taken, in this whole story.
And it's to cry.
Yes. Because the hero who's supposed to have her is in lions now. But they told her it would cost her life if she didn't say that she and the other treasures had been won by them. If you and these other objects don't all agree, we're gonna kill you. So there's a big celebration at their father's palace when the brothers return. And the brother said, oh no, our youngest brother led a depraved life at the inn and he has been hanged for debt. Outside a Doubletree too, it's just shame on the family. The king was deeply sorrowed to hear this because the youngest son was, of course, the best and his favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the default position of youngest. The joy
that's,
over the...
That's the one that's going to listen to foxes.
Yeah.
I know this.
He's going to listen to foxes and he's not even going to twerk. How could this have happened? He's never dabbed a day in his life.
My boy.
His shirt's always tucked in for business. How could this be? The joy over the treasures that the boys brought soon faded, because the bird refused to sing. The princess constantly wept, and that's real obnoxious. And no one dared venture close enough to the horse to even look at his golden shoes, and since the rest of him is a regular-ass horse, there's nothing special about it. Meanwhile, back at Lyons, it turns out the fox was chilling with them, and the lions are really cool. Not even a threat.
That's great news.
Isn't it? Fox isn't even mad that the prince didn't listen to him this time, probably because he's just so damn used to the disappointment now that it's simply a matter of course, and he merely explains that the sons who could forget their father and disgrace their royal birth wouldn't hesitate to betray a brother either, and he should maybe have thought about this a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone who can twerk to a hurdy-gurdy is not trustworthy.
As the old saying goes.
We all know this. We all grow up hearing it. So he gave more directions to the prince for how to get all of his stuff back. And the prince thanks him for his true friendship. And the fox is like, now you gotta do something for me. Time's come to pay up, prince boy. Princey poo. You gotta chop my head off. So the prince is like, what the fuck? No, you're like my best friend.
Also, what?
Yeah. How's this payment? You're my best friend because kind of was the problem that befell my brothers. Our father apparently doesn't let us interact with other people ever, so I've only ever known friendship from you, a fox, and they've only ever known friendship from a hurdy-gurdy player. We've led a very difficult, depraved life. And the fox is like, no, seriously, do it. Do it. Cut my head off. Do it. Do it. You can do it. Cut it off.
Do it. It'll be funny.
Cut it off. Cut it off. Do it. You got this. Cut it off. And the prince says, no, I can't. And the fox gets very sad and says, well, great. Now I have to kill you instead, and I don't wanna.
I gotta cut your head off.
Yeah, he's like, well. So the prince, this is enough for him. He draws his good sword, and prompting questions about possible evil and neutral swords on his person. He just picks the good one.
He's a witcher.
Yeah. And he cuts off the fox's head.
That tracks with the hurdy-gurdy soundtrack.
So once the fox has been beheaded, a youth stands before him, and he's like,
I want to hear Geralt say to somebody, if you twerk to the hurdy-gurdy, you're not trustworthy, Gurdy.
We could draw the most confusing piece of fan art with absolutely no explanations given. And just present it to the world. Like, yep, this is my girl to Rivia fan art. Why are you asking so many questions?
Answered by my Geralt of Rivia fan art.
Yeah. He's got the right face to say that.
So there's a youth standing there instead of a fox, and the youth says, man, thank you. You freed me from my spell. Look, I am the dead man who was unburied in the robber's inn. The one that you paid the, like, burial fees for.
Oh, it all comes together.
Yeah. Unlike a lot of stories, this yeah. one does try to tie up some loose ends.
A genuine callback.
Yeah. And he says, so now we're even. This is also why I put up with all your dumb shit.
Because you were my best bet, believe it or not.
So they parted, and I guess one of them to the afterlife. The prince, disguising himself as a horseshoer, goes up to the palace and offers his services. Everyone there is like, oh, thank goodness, you are just what we need. We need to do something about this horse. It won't even let us see its fashion. And we know it has it, but it keeps standing on it.
It's demure. And it doesn't want its feet to go right onto the internet.
We gotta see them Gucci hooves.
So the WikiHooves.com.
So the prince goes into the stable, and the horse is all friendly to him and stands still so that he can show them the famous golden shoes, which is literally all that any of them wanted. He didn't shoe the horse, he didn't unshoe the horse, he didn't polish the shoes of the horse, he just lifted the horse's damn feet.
Just take a peep.
And everyone's just like, yeah! Woo!
Did you say licked the horse's feet?
No, I said lifted.
Ah.
Someone wants to lick the horse's feet, because we've said it in Rule 34. But...
And they did found Wiki Hooves.
And there is now an AO3 story out there about licking this horse's golden hooves. So.
We don't make the rules.
We don't. We just
read them. Observe them.
So then they start gossiping about the bird. Because mm-hmm. now they've seen the hooves, so nothing better to do but gossip. So they start gossiping about the bird, having nothing better to do once seeing the hooves, taking their photos, posting them on Instagram. You know, all the folklore things that happen. And the horseshoer, who is the prince, but in typical folklore fashion, the clothing he wears makes the title.
Yes.
No one but the bird grip gets a name. So the horseshoer
who
says...
Who does not speak.
No. Oh, hey, I know that bird. I bet I can tell what's wrong with it. Because not only am I a horseshoer, but I'm a bird doctor. You can trust me. Look at my coat. So the king's men took counsel on
whether... horseshoes and bird hearts. Very similar.
Yeah. It wasn't
out very, of my... very transferable skills.
Wasn't out of my way to get that minor and that certification.
I basically had all the credits by accident.
Yeah. So I just might as well finish them, right? Take the one class and done. That's actually how I got my writing minor. I accidentally had most of one.
You whoopsed into it?
Yeah. So they took the king's men take counsel on whether or not they should take this random guy who just showed up in front of the king of this entire country, which is more thought that has been put into a situation like this than I've ever seen in another folktale. And the king is currently hanging out in his room with the bird and the weeping princess for company. Which just sounds like a real party, right? You can see why a hurdy-gurdy dirge might prompt a twerk of these princes if this is what they came from.
It was a different time.
So the king's men are like, fuck it, why not? Ending all careful thought. And they bring him straight to the king's chambers, where he calls the bird by its name, Grip, and it begins to sing. And the princess begins to smile. Because you're the one who stole us, and therefore you're the one who owns us, and we're happy about seeing you again. As opposed to the one who stole us from the one who stole us, who we think sucks.
Already forgotten.
Yeah. So the king can start to see better and better as the bird continues its song. Let you to decide what song the bird sings to restore sight to someone.
Kiss from a Rose.
The bird knew the Selkie seal. And finally, the king's sight returns to the point that he realizes he's looking at his youngest and most favoritist son. The princess, feeling like maybe she's got a chance at survival now, confides the treachery of the eldest two sons, and they just get straight banished from the kingdom. The youngest prince marries the princess, of course. He gets to keep the horse, of course.
Of course.
And also he gets half the kingdom from his father. His father did keep the bird, though, and the bird now sings with all its heart to the king and all his court. And that's the end of the story. Presumably there's a sequel about a war with three kingdoms from whence all these things were stolen.
We're just going to leave that up to Tolkien, though.
Yeah. It's the folklore Cimmerillion. So let's discuss... First thoughts from either of you?
They definitely did better than a lot of other stories. I mean, we mentioned the callback already, but it
you just
it
mean does... as a story.
Yeah.
Like yeah. The structure therein.
I mean, I the bar's pretty low, but they did reference a thing, like set up a thing and then reference it later.
Yeah, we had set up and payoff, and I don't know that we have we ever gotten a real setup payoff Chekhov's loaded gun?
A real not, one? Hard to tell, because we typically insert our own.
Yeah, not that I recall. But what counts as a Chekhov's loaded gun? Is it anything? Anything in the story?
Any setup for a later payoff?
What if it's an unloaded gun? And it's just background dressing.
It's Chekhov's middle of cleaning gun.
Yeah, maybe it pays off, maybe it doesn't.
Schrodinger's Chekhov's gun, per that meme that I shared to the Discord a while back.
Yeah, what what fixes do we have, if any, or is it perfect?
It's not perfect because we have a couple of heists that are just sort of
time wasters.
Time wasters, and then
padding.
And then yeah, weirdly enough, they were padding, even though we don't know anything that happened during them.
Yeah, there were the extra heist paddings. There was the stealing of the key from underneath the murderer's pillow that they just sort of were like, well, this happened. So I'd like to see that. And I think I'd love some callbacks to the girl who he got a better job for, like that to pay off, maybe. Honestly, I could do without the princess and the horse entirely.
Yeah.
If I were to rewrite this, I would probably, like, tie in the... Because the girl from the inn had a lot more character to her than most of the characters in this story. Because she legitimately in the story was just like, ugh, that shrieking. It's so annoying. It's just this dead guy that my master murdered.
Very relatable.
Every night. Every night with this. Yeah, and, like, I love the idea of an exhausted minimum wage worker trapped in a shitty job with the shittiest boss who gets to, like, help a guy escape and gets a better job as a result of that, and then, like, later on, like, they get the taste of the heist, and the fox gets involved with it, and she helps him steal the bird. Like, I'd rather three attempts on the bird than this horse that is just a regular horse with golden shoes. It's really not that special or interesting. And a human real doll who cries.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what that princess is. It's just a real doll that they put on a horse. And she weeps.
By a real doll, do you mean a human being?
No, I mean like the sex toy.
Excuse me?
Isn't there like a sex thing called a real doll?
That's like Is there?
I think there is.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I'm gonna incognito window this thing.
A real, when you say real doll,
yep,
that, well, just means just like a person then.
No, it's a realistic sex doll.
Oh.
There are a lot of them, apparently.
Do they look like certain people?
There's discreet delivery guaranteed.
Well, that's good.
From realdoll.com. They are disconcertingly real.
Like, not Silicon Valley. Though maybe that's involved. What's the other valley? The one that's bad to look at?
Uncanny?
Yeah, the uncanny one.
They might be made of silicon. And, yes. You can build your own, also. They come in male and female. They're like life-size Barbies, essentially.
That you fuck.
That's, yes.
With dead eyes.
Yeah.
I cannot emphasize to you how dead these eyes are. So that's essentially what that princess is. Glad I did this in an incognito window. I do not need Facebook ads picking that up in their algorithm. And that's a real shame when they have one character who actually has a personality in here.
And we just don't get to see them.
We don't get to see them, and we have this one that being put on a horse, like, set on a horse. She doesn't even move. Like, the only action she takes is to cry and then to smile when her first abductor shows up.
Like, might as well just be tied onto a saddlebag and carried around like luggage.
And I really hate the idea that the bird, the horse, and the girl like our protagonist because he's the protagonist.
Gotta like the protagonist.
And therefore, by default, is good and lovable, and everyone is all for him. It doesn't matter that he did crimes and kidnapped people and stole animals and reneged on promises to the kings who hired him as a thief to steal from each other, and has started, like, a wave of warfare across the land.
Yeah.
Because you know all of these kingdoms are now in a battle with all of each other. This entire neighborhood's gone.
He did a little bit do that, huh?
Yeah, you would expect if there's any retaliation that it would start from horseshoes person to princess person, and then princess person to bird person, and then bird person to blind king, and then everyone would get wrapped up in it.
I am interested in the future of this region.
And I think in exploring the future of this region, I would love to pull back Old Woman Zoo books. Spelled C-E-W-B-J-O-O-K with some umlauts thrown in there. Because I'm curious what her whole agency is in this thing. And why is this a bird fall? Yeah, is this a bird fall operation?
Is she just around and does it for kicks?
Is the bird grip in deep cover?
If he was in deep cover, I think he would go by something else.
Just infiltrating a kingdom and hanging out as...
like...
as a kidnappable a bird.
No birds here. I'm a horse.
It's foolproof.
I'm going with the assumption that the bird grip is a bird operative who's been, like, doing a long-term infiltration mission of a kingdom. And that this has been... They've sent Old Woman Zoo books, who is maybe related or the same person from that one story where there's, like, one woman who could talk to birds.
Mm-hmm.
So she is a bird-to-human translator, and she has been sent door-to-door to try selling people and kidnapping this bird grip to start wars between kingdoms.
To what end? Just to destabilize the region?
That is the question, right? With Birdfall.
Is she the bird CIA?
Yes. Yeah, they need to destabilize fucking with fairy other tale countries. Sweden. Yeah.
Makes me wonder if there is another thing happening simultaneously.
Involving fairies of some kind?
Yeah, like, what is this cover for?
It would be fun if this was really just a distraction mission so they could do something else somewhere. So yeah, aside from Real Doll Princess and more information on Old Woman Zoo books, I'm pretty down with most of this story.
Mm-hmm.
I do very much want to see someone twerking to a hurdy-gurdy dirge.
Slowly.
No, I want to see someone, like, twerking all out, like...
Oh. I was picturing a slow twerk of derision.
Try them both. See which one fits the mood best. So thank you to Danny for setting me down a rabbit hole.
Thank you.
Landed here.
And what's their AO3 name again?
Waywarder. Waywarder. So check out their fanfic. Thank you to all of you for listening to this story. Thank you for anyone who is considering twerking to a hurdy-gurdy, just as a preemptive thanks. Thank you to Incognito Windows for allowing us to look things up without consequence.
What are the odds that the same person both knows how to play a hurdy-gurdy and twerk?
There's gotta be at least one, right? There are so many people in the world.
That is a slim crossover, I think, but hopefully there is someone.
Are you the one person in the world who can do both things? If not, can you become them?
A challenge.
I guess really it is the specific crossover of skills that you possess that makes you a unique individual in a world of...
I guess so.
With billions. Like, yeah, sure, you play the hurdy-gurdy. A ton of people play the hurdy-gurdy. Yeah, you twerk. Yeah, so did half the internet for a couple years. Oh, you do both? You are the only person in the world who can do that. Time,
now yeah, I'm
suddenly,
listening.
Suddenly this is an original and vital personality.
So go forth, claim identity.
Suddenly you belong in a museum.
A very engaging Tinder bio.
Go forth and claim your identity via the unique intersection of specific skills that you have. Put them on your resume, along with inspiring quotes and the one time you did a kickflip. This has been your business advice for this very business-like episode. Thank you to all of our patrons for giving us business and allowing us to purchase the ties that we need in order to maintain our illusion of professionalism. Thank you to our top-tier patrons, Pangea, Lucky, Lunon, Maxwell, Queen Savagery, Mustering Allies, Hyerius, Midori, Baby Grandma, Becca, Lobster No Longer, Kelly, the new and improved Haley, Hey You, Hand Over the Biscuits, Nom 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 Nom, Awkward, Project Birdfall Informant, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spaghetto Popping On Off with a Bang, Caitlin, Danielle, I'm paying $10 a month to make Carwin's cold read more difficult. Olwen, I swear to God, this is not an ARG. Allie, Knife Dad, Cobus Cat, Versus Keeper of Too Many OCs, Pyrus, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Millipedish, it's me, Dave, I'm speaking to you in the voice of Carmen. This possession won't last long, but I need to warn you. Maya, Grey Goetic Prince of the Arcane, Hylistus of Wimbus, Charioteer of the Dragon of the Sun, Steersman of the Bark of the Sun, Guardian of the Secret Knowledge, Lord of the Horizon, and something starting with K. A dubious little creature. Haley Prime, the original B. Haley, you know and love since 2018. Dominic, Justin, Lily, Izzy, and Jenna, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.